Good morning, church. Yesterday, 11th November, folks from around the village and surrounding areas gathered together on the green to remember and honor those who sacrificed and those who have served in both world wars and in recent conflicts as well. And I don't know what it was, but this has been my fourth kind of memorial service I've been to in Woodbury on the green. And I'm not sure if it was just because they gave me a part to read out as well or what, but I was especially moved yesterday. And I think, well, I don't know, but I was moved, and I started trying to process through, why is it this time that I feel more moved than I have in other years? What is it? And I think it's the section that they gave me to read, and that was the call to commitment to responsible living and faithful service. And the section that they gave me, the questions, the call and response that they gave, and the prayer that they gave me to read afterwards, I don't know, just really moved me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read that for you now. Spoiler alerts for this afternoon. But here's what they gave me to read. It's commitment to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace? And then say, we will. Will you seek to heal the wounds of war? We will. Will you work for a just future for all humanity? We will. And the prayer went, merciful God, we offer to you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. May we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer. Amen. Now again, as after service concluded and I was processing through all of this, and I was kind of thinking, why do I feel so moved? Is it simply just because we are coming to honor those who served and gave their lives? Both of my grandfathers were military men. Is that the reason, or what is it that this time, on this occasion, did I feel more moved? And as I was thinking through it, I think I came down to it that, you know, when we come together and we gather for these memorial services, we're doing two things. We're honoring those and remembering those who have served and sacrificed and given up so much for our freedoms today. But the second thing that we're doing is we are acknowledging the evil and brokenness of this world. You know, I love history, and I loved reading about the history of the world, and you know, it's, you know, obviously we covered the both world wars. And you read historical documents and accounts of battles that had taken place. You read the toll and the death counts there's just so much killing. There's so much violence. There's so much evil, and there's so much destruction that it's easy to lose hope. You would think after one world war that we would learn our lesson and that we would strive for peace, yet we don't. And there was a second. And then there are conflicts and more senseless violence and killings. And you just think, when will we get it? But I think what moved me most is, though we spend time to recognize and honor those that sacrificed their lives for us, and we acknowledge the sin or the evil in the world and the hopelessness and the helplessness and the destruction that it causes, we still respond by saying, we will strive for peace. We will strive to heal the wounds of war. We will seek a just future for all humanity. No matter what the future looks like, no matter how dark or desperate things might be, we choose to live lives seeking peace. And it got me thinking. It got me thinking about what I was going to speak on today and today's passage. And it just got me thinking about the Day of Atonement, right? And there are a lot of similarities that I picked out of the Day of Atonement and Remembrance Day and what we've just witnessed. And if you aren't familiar with the Day of Atonement, it's a general overview. We're not going to go into all the details because we can't cover that in the amount of time that we have. But the Day of Atonement meaning covering someone's debt. The Day of Atonement was when all of Israel would gather together in the presence of God. And the high priest would make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people as a ransom, as an offering to atone for their sin, to be made right with God. The Day of Atonement was a way for Israel to be made right with God. You see, God is just, and he is holy, and he would be right to wipe us off the face of the earth because of the sins and the evils that we've committed. We've broken God's law, right? So it's only right, it's only just that he could do this. But that's not God's mission. That's not God's hope. But through the Day of Atonement, what God is doing is he is creating a way of destroying evil without destroying humanity. There are two aspects to the Day of Atonement. One being animal sacrifice, which to a lot of us might be quite interesting or weird, especially in today's culture. But in ancient Israel, the animal sacrifice was a powerful image, was a powerful symbol, was a powerful representation of God's justice and his grace. The sacrifice of this animal was also to show that we need a substitute, that we cannot save ourselves, because we, all of us, each and every single person in this room, believer of Jesus Christ or not, has sinned. We've broken the law. We've broken God's holy law. And a price needs to be paid. But having this animal and sacrificing that animal is a substitute. And it's symbolically saying that this animal is dying on my behalf. The blood that is being spilled is the blood that I should have spilled, the death I should have died. Atonement, covering someone's debt. The second aspect of the Day of Atonement is another thing that took place was a sprinkling of blood. And again, this might be weird if you don't know anything about the Old Testament or the Day of Atonement or even today's reading. You might have heard a lot of different phrases and words being used. But the sprinkling of blood was a significant event for the Day of Atonement. The blood of the animal representing life. The high priest would go and sprinkle the temple, would sprinkle people as a sign and a symbol of purifying the land and people. Because we are not perfect. Again, as I don't need to say any further, we all messed up. And as we sin, as we continue to live lives against God and we are seeing the destructive nature of sin in our lives and the corruption that it brings, it needs to be purified. And the sprinkling of this blood was an image of that, was a representation. We need to be purified. And in that time when all of Israel came together, whatever sins they were involved with, whatever sins they committed, what moral failings that they did that just destroyed and ruptured relationships between God and with other people, they would bring all of that with them. But as the high priest would sprinkle blood, they would be purified. The land would be purified. And this talks about, and this focuses in on the covenantal relationship between God and his people. You see, as the land and the people are being purified, this allows God and to be with his people so that they could be in his presence. So that they could be transformed from a broken people to God's holy people. to continue on the mission that no matter where they went as a blessing to the nations. How does this connect with these memorial services? You see, we all come and we gather in one place, usually at a monument, at a memorial site. And we remember those who gave their lives. But we also acknowledge the evil that needs to be cleansed. And in the same way, all when Israel came together, they remember the sacrifice, which then would lead them to repentance, to say, listen, live a life that brings life, that brings blessing to others. And in doing so, it also shows that there is evil and wickedness that needs to be eradicated. But as Hebrews 10:1 says, Hebrews 10:1 says, for since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. This isn't the full picture. The Day of Atonement wasn't a permanent response. It wasn't a permanent dealing with everything. But all of this, Day of Atonement, was pointing forward to the day when Jesus would come, the perfect and spotless Lamb who would be slain, who would give his life for us. Continuing on to verse 3 and 4, but in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, but it is possible through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are made right, that we are purified, that we are able to overcome our sin, to overcome evil in this world. This all points to Jesus. And you would think that, oh, Old Testament and New Testament, there might be so many differences, there might be different. If that's your thinking, I got to tell you right now that that's not true at all. You cannot have the new, you cannot appreciate the New Testament without the old. You need both, because now, as we look into the New Testament, we will see that there are so many authors who write towards this, right? We're talking about ransom. Let's talk about that. In Mark 10:45, it says, for the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and live his life as a ransom. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Romans 3:25 says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through his blood. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, you were ransomed with precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You see, these New Testament references and all these authors are all making sense of what the law was, and it's now being fulfilled. We were ransomed. And now we are to be purified. Titus 2:14, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own. Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ purify the dead conscience from dead works to serve living God? 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The work of Jesus on the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection, gives us hope that we can overcome evil. That evil has already been overcome. The work has been done. It's all been taken care of. And so for us, when we leave places like church, when we leave even these memorial sites, yes, we will soon enough fail. We will soon enough mess up. We will soon enough forget the sacrifices of those who came before us. We will soon enough sin. But the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives allows us to be monuments wherever we go, where people can see us and see how we live our lives and how we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they come to know who God is, his love for them, and his mission for his people. In all of that is basically what chapter 10 is about, which brings us to verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The pessimist within me thinks, as we walk away from even today's memorial service, and even yesterday's service, I was thinking, well, how long before we forget? Right? We go and we say, we will strive for peace, we will strive for justice, but how long before we forget? How long before we forget to strive for peace? When someone cuts us off? When someone gossips behind our back? When someone is, you know, schemes behind our backs and steals a promotion from us? When do we stop striving for peace? When do we stop striving for justice? When will we forget? How long will it take? But I believe the Christian, the follower of Jesus, is not left with hopelessness. But because we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we take that and we go, okay, how long? I don't know, but I can rest in the fact that it's been taken care of and that I can keep living a life, seeking peace, that I can keep going. Our hope here to keep in step with the Holy Spirit is remembering what God has done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives. And as we begin and continue to meet together, remind one another of the work of God in your life. So as we go move forward as a community, no matter where we go, we know, no matter what circumstance you're going through, we know, no matter what hardships you're facing, we know God is with us, God is faithful, and you are surrounded by other people who believe so. Let us remember the work of Christ in our lives, and as we go to move on, and as we live our lives, striving to bring the kingdom of God to people who don't know him, let's remember his love for us to bless the nations. Pray with me. Lord, we, on this Sunday, remember your love for us. We remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins, dying the death that we deserved, purifying our lives with his blood. May we not lose hope when we look at all the evil, all the war, all the strife, all the poverty, all the poor, all the just brokenness of this world that's brought on through sin. May we not lose hope. But instead, as believers of Jesus Christ, those who are resting in the finished work, his life, his death, and his resurrection, may we be filled with hope. May we be filled with hope to go and continue to pursue lives of peace, to pursue justice, to serve and be a blessing to the nations, In our context, may we be a blessing to those at work. May we be a monument and a light in the darkness. Whoever interacts with us, may we just be able to proclaim your love and your mission through our deeds, pointing people to the love of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.